the hand clap of praise. He's awesome. You can be seated while I try to fix this. There you go. This reminds me, that was just saving. It reminds me of a story I heard about. There was a database, and the database was connected from heaven to hell, and Satan and Jesus kept up with all what was going on, and Satan tried to keep up with all the sins. And so he had this database, and actually one day it crashed. But Jesus was still running fine. And the devil said, I don't understand how Jesus can still be running fine, and I lost all my stuff, and one of the texts said, it's easy, Jesus saves. All right, y'all don't have to fall out in laughter, it'll be okay, I promise you. Take a deep breath from laughing so hard. God is good. All the time. Amen. Now, today's going to be kind of different. It's going to be a lot different, matter of fact, but it's going to be okay. Tell somebody it's okay. You may have to breathe a few times. Okay. And it's going to be awesome. But first, what were you thinking? Have you ever thought about that? What were you thinking? This is a generation, because of COVID and because of other things. Honestly, I find myself all the time asking people, what were you thinking? Why did you do what you did? Why aren't you doing more than you're doing? Why are you just sitting back and letting life just pass you by? And why are you letting things get to you when they shouldn't be? And so I heard about this not-so-bright gal calls her boyfriend and says, please come over and help me. I have a killer jigsaw puzzle, and I just can't figure out how it starts. So he said, well, what's it supposed to be when it's finished? And the girl said, according to the picture on the box, it's a tiger. Her boyfriend decides to go over and help with the puzzle. She lets him in and shows him where she has the puzzle spread all over the table. He studies the pieces for a moment, then he looks at the box, and he turns to her and says, first of all, no matter what we do, we're not going to be able to assemble these pieces into anything resembling a tiger. He takes her by the hand and says, second, I want you to relax, take a deep breath. Then he sighed. He said, and we'll put all these frosted flakes back in the box. What were you thinking? Amen. Well, we're going to talk about, because guess what? This week is Halloween. Of course, the church celebrated Hallow's Eve, which was, Halloween is Hallow's Eve, but it's Saints Day. Okay, this is All Hallow's Eve, which Saints Day is the next day. And so we celebrated Saints Day, and the world celebrates Halloween. So for today, if you come in here, weren't expecting this, well, guess what? Here it comes. The zombie apocalypse. The zombie apocalypse. Let me ask you a question. How many's heard about the zombie apocalypse? We're all hearing about the zombie apocalypse all the time, and even people are selling storage food to prepare us for the zombie apocalypse. And I said, this is crazy. Zombie apocalypse. So I started studying it, and I found out. Let me just go ahead. Again, you're going to say, this is very strange. This is not a normal sermon. But it's okay, I promise you. there's been a strange, and I do mean strange, fascination in this last day with zombies. One of the biggest shows on television is about zombies. And they've had a part two and part three and part four, and now they got another way. It's called, what is it even called? The Walking Dead, amen. Amen, I heard a preacher told me he was talking about his, they were talking about his church, The Walking Dead. But the book tells us how to survive this zombie apocalypse. Well, first off, let me tell you about apocalypse. Apocalypse does not, y'all say this, does not mean violence. Apocalypse does not mean violence. The book of Revelation, if you look at Revelation in the Greek, instead of Revelation, it is the apocalypse of John. Okay? Why? Because apocalypse means the unveiling. It means the unmasking. It means to take you into a place that one time had been a mystery. So let's go a little further about the zombies, because I'm going somewhere, I promise you. And again, this is not my normal normal sermon, but this is because I feel so strong about this. The characteristics of zombies. First off, they're in a decaying state with discolored skin and eyes. They're non-communicative. They are groaning instead of speaking. They're unemotional, with no mercy toward their victims. They're hungry for human flesh. They ignore animals. They're clumsy and they're violent. And they're contagious. Okay, a person who's been bitten by a zombie will become a zombie. Amen. Now, before we get too far, I need to tell you something. Zombies are real. Did you know that? Y'all are looking at me like I lost my mind. In Haiti, in their voodoo, they actually have a drug-induced mind control. And with this drug-induced mind control, of course, they try to tell people that they've got their spirit, they've got their soul, they have their soul, and they put them in containers and all of this. But what happens is they put them in a drug-induced mind control. So they appear in a zombie state. Now, I want you to think about what you've seen over the last 2 years. Satan is developing zombies here, right now. Forget about the drugs. Just think about what I'm saying. He is building a zombie nation. Now, you're going to say, here you go. You're going to lose me now, Pastor. Well, watch this. Here you go. Here we go. The characteristics of a zombie. Number one, they are alive, but they're not alive. They think, but they don't think. They hear, but they don't hear. They see, but they don't see. They move without purpose. Does that sound familiar today? Amen? Everywhere I go, all places I see, Jesus told us this day was coming, and this day is here. People all over the place. They're just walking and like in a daze, and you can walk through Walmart. People used to speak to you. Now they just don't even see you. Like they're just in a daze and they're looking at you. Walking down the street, they're in a daze and they're just looking. And it's because there's so much on their mind and there's so much going on, and the world shifts every minute. It used to be every decade, but now the world shifts every minute. And as we see the world shifting, people can't keep up. So alive, they're alive, but they're not alive. They think, but they can't think. They hear, but they don't know what they're hearing. They see, but they don't see. And they move around without purpose. Satan is building a nation, a world of zombies. Now let me just talk to you a little bit about this ideal here. Oh, there you go. I can walk in a hospital in the waiting room. They got TVs going, people making announcements, and nobody hears. Why? Because everybody walking down the street. You know, I have to admit, the other day I was walking through a cafeteria, and somebody had texted me. I was doing Mighty Army, and so I was responding back to Mighty Army, and I looked at these two big double doors, and I said, I better hurry up and get back and respond. And so as I responded, I walked right into the wall. I missed the door. And I looked around me and I said, did anybody see me? Did I lose my cool points? What I actually gained was zombie points. How many here have gained some zombie points lately? Amen? You're not thinking. Your things got your mind all messed up. You want to do something, but you can't find a way to do it. And just the way things have gone. I'm going to tell you who's the head of this, and this is so awesome. You know, we had COVID, and we still have COVID. There's people still dying of COVID. COVID is real. Don't anybody try to tell you there's some kind of conspiracy. COVID is real, and we know that. I'm not discounting the realness of COVID. And I'm not talking, we need to make real steps to confront COVID because it's caused some real fear. All right, get ready. Don't throw anything at me. When you see me get off the seat, get ready. I'm either getting ready to really get down or getting ready to run, one or the other. Satan has used it as a tool. You know, he rules in fear. He rules in terror. And so this is his greatest tool to keep people apart and to keep things mixed up and I have all these, everybody's got a different kind of standard to have, and so people just don't even get around each other anymore, and it's broke up families and it's broke up things. And so remember, COVID is real. The threat is real. But Satan has taken it as a tool. You know, if you call someplace now, you know, I call anywhere and you can't get anybody to answer the phone. This happened the other day. I was calling the nursing home. When I called the nursing home, I got a recording on the very first call. Couldn't believe it. I'm going to sit there and wait and call again and call again and then put you here and put you here to hang up. Okay, get back up, put you here, hang up. I got an answer on the very first call, but it was a recording. It says, "You have reached us on the very first call. That is against our standards. Please hang up and try again." So watch this. People tell you this, well, we're understaffed. That's why we're doing substandard work. We're understaffed. That's why we're not taking care of people, because we're understaffed. That's why we can't get things done, because we're understaffed. And what's happened as a reason has now become an excuse for people just doing whatever they want to do. And I'm here to tell you, we're raising a nation of zombies. Amen? So now, watch this. Well, here we go. Y'all ready to go a little deeper? Let's talk about why we're raising zombies. Okay, zombie nation, John 10:10. It says, "A thief cometh not before to steal, to kill, and to destroy." So watch this, that word thief. Now, I'm going to break this down. That word thief is kleptos. It's a noun. It means a kleptomaniac. Somebody that steals just for the fun and the thrill of stealing. If you meet a kleptomaniac, they will steal and not even need it. They will steal and not even know why they steal. They just get a thrill out and their heart gets pumping hard because they're stealing something. A kleptomaniac. But that's part of Satan's makeup. He is the father of kleptomania. It is part of his makeup. Even if he promises the world, he is still lying. He uses stages and because he knows it's hard to get us all at once. So, thief. "The thief cometh not before to steal." Now, here, break it down. Now, that one was kleptos, and that was a noun. Now, it's klepto, which is a verb. It means to take away by stealth, to pilfer, to take a little bit at a time. As the devil, as Satan, is trying to get you to be part of the zombie nation. He may start out small at first. As he starts out small, you'll think, well, nobody will mess it if I'm not doing my job. Nobody will mess it if I'm not here at church. Nobody will mess it if I'm not doing this. Nobody will mess it if I don't tell somebody about Jesus. You know, nobody will even know this because it's just one time. Then that one time becomes two times, becomes three times, becomes four times. And then next thing you know, it's a month, it's 2 months, it's 3 months. And no longer are you even convicted because the thief has pilfered your life. Wow. Somebody say, wow. He's pilfered your life. But once you were joyful and full of life and God excited you and you love doing God's work and you loved helping people and you loved getting around people and you loved fellowship, and now a little bit by a little bit by a little bit, and Satan is winning the fight. Wow. So he's come to steal. He gets even, look, here it is, here's the stages. And to kill. That word kill means sacrifice. It means to slaughter for a purpose as a lamb. Why is Satan attacking us so hard? Why does Satan attack the church? You know, I had some people tell me, said, you know, your life was never really easy, but once you got saved, it seemed to get harder. I've had people come to me and say, you know, when I was in the world, I had my problems, but then I got saved, and now I'm getting hit in different ways. I'm getting hit in ways I've never been hit before. Why is Satan attacking God's people? Get ready. Here's your answer. Satan cannot attack God. So he attacks his creation. Adam and Eve, the very first. Cannot attack God. He knew he couldn't. But he jumped right on it when the creation came along. Just know this. You say, well, God, why don't you stop it? Well, we're going to get to that in just a minute. But understand this. If you're a child of God and you're trying your best to serve God, you've got a target on your back. And you wonder why it hurts so bad. Why am I getting hit so hard? It's because He wants to keep you from moving forward as His creation and go back. Just pilfer and pilfer and pilfer until He absolutely kills you. You don't even care anymore. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That word destroy literally means to put away entirely. It means to declare that one must be put to death. When Satan comes, remember, he's a kleptomaniac. He's the father of kleptomaniac. He comes and he steals a little bit and a little bit and a little bit. You don't even notice it. And then pretty soon, he's going into a full-on attack. And then eventually, he just takes you out. And you wonder, what happened? A year or so ago, I was doing so good. Now what has happened? Look at our nation. Pre-COVID and now. Don't look to the Congress to help because all they're doing is fighting. Just a big old cat fight up there. Everything you look is just a big old fight. You can't look to the world because the world doesn't know. They don't have any answers. The only one that's got an answer for this is God. And the thief is doing his best to keep you from going to God by attacking His creation. So now, let's go a bit further here. The thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy. Let's just finish up that verse. But he says, I am come that they may have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Let's watch this one now. Watch this. Here's your cure. I am come. Let's just stop. I am come. Y'all say, I am. I am. I am. Now y'all say Yahweh. Yahweh. This is the covenant name of God. He says, I'm coming and I'm bringing a covenant with me. The covenant protects you. The covenant takes care of you. The covenant means that Jesus binds with you and He will not leave you or forsake you because He's made a covenant cut with blood, His own blood on the cross. So it says, look, so here's the covenant name of God. I am come. Wow, God shrouded in flesh. I am come. Wow. You know, my wife and I started watching this show called The Chosen. And it's a different kind of show of anything. I mean, it's biblically intact, 100% biblically intact. But at the same time, it tells a story why it keeps all the things going biblically. And you know, Jesus, everybody loved to be around Him. And everybody just, the children loved to be around Him. Everybody, they were drawn to Him. And that was one of the biggest reasons was because He was a people person. If you ever get a chance to watch the show Chosen, it's in season 2, getting ready to go to season 3, check it out. Because when you see it, I promise you, if you ever, ever doubted that people loved Him, watch it. But I promise you will fall in love with Him all again. All over again. I already loved Jesus, but watching this show has actually boosted my love for Him because it shows the human side. So here we go. I am come that they might. Didn't say gonna. Might mean might means that God's not going to force you. He's not. Satan cannot keep you from it. God's not going to force it on you. The decision's yours. Let me ask you a question today. Would you rather live with Satan attacking and beating and just constantly getting at you with no kind of cover, or would you rather have cover while you're doing all this? I want to have a shield. So, might also equals potential and choice. That they might have life. That word life means to be full, fresh, and strong. And more abundantly. Wow. Over and above, uncommon. Some people try to take that and say, you're just going to have everything in the world you want. And no, that's not what it means. It means that God's going to do a work in you, and people are going to see the work in you, and they're going to want what you got, because they see you walk through hell, walk through the cesspool of this world, and still have a smile on your face, and still love God, and still praise God, and still know that God's working for you, and still praise Him. And they say, you know something? I want what that man's got. You know, I remember I was pastoring a church, and I was working at Fountain, and I remember one of the, matter of fact, it was really kind of awesome, because when I started pastoring, one day one department came in, the next Sunday another department started coming in. Within about 4 weeks, every department in Fountain was represented at that church. And one guy, I didn't say anything. I just thanked everybody for coming, and y'all enjoy God's presence and worship Him. You know, but it was really powerful that one guy come up to me and he said, you know why I'm here, don't you? And I said, not really. Why are you here? He says, because I get to see you in real life. I get to see you when you're meeting all the pressures at Fountain. And you're an engineer, you're a manager, they come down hard on you. And he says, I've never one time heard you complain. And I always see you with a smile on your face. And no matter what happens, you don't dwell on what happened, you dwell on the solution. He said, there's something different about that man. He said, you never evangelized me. You never asked me to come to church, he said, but just watching you in real life, did something for me. You know what it was? It was the abundant life that God gives. So now, let's just go a little bit further. Ready? I'm going to show you this. I'm going to go even further. The next thing that's got us. Ready? Let's just read this Amplified Version. The thief comes in order only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. The message says a thief is only there to steal, to kill, and destroy. I came so they might have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. So now that's the cure, but now there's something else besides COVID right now that's destroying the nation and making us a bunch of zombies. You ready? I just let it stop for a minute. Now, I'm not pushing any candidate. I'm not even pushing any party. I'm just telling you what's happening. I'm not going to tell you how to think or what to think. I'm going to tell you how to think. Amen? Not what to think, how to think. Now, there's another cause, and there's a terrible zombie effect on this nation. I see people eating each other, so to speak. I see people tearing each other apart. I see it tearing families apart because of all the showmanship and all the craziness that's going on. There's something legitimately out there, and it's called, watch this, election trauma stress disorder. It's real. You notice when after Trump got elected, some people had to take off work, they had to go to therapy, some schools were closed. Election trauma stress disorder. After Biden got in, you see how some people just couldn't even walk around anymore because it was just they felt like the world had come to an end because election trauma stress disorder. Guess what's getting ready to happen around the corner? November 8th. I was getting these little things in the mail for people, and I had this one. I'm not even going to tell who it is, but I saw this one guy, And I said, you know what? I feel like I might vote for him because I know I've been knowing him since he was a kid, and I know his daddy and his mama and that's not blah, blah, blah. And I said, you know what? He's a good guy. I think I'm going to vote for him because he's got standards and he's got purpose. And he doesn't steer away from them. So I really trust him. And as I was still trying to decide, but I was really going his way, I opened up the mailbox one day. And there was a thing saying, vote for me. And on the other side of it was all the bad things and the mudslinging about the other candidate. And I took it, and I tore it up. And I said, you're just like everybody else. And I threw it away. I still voted. And I won't tell you who I voted for, because that's a personal thing. But I can tell you this. He ended what I thought because of mudslinging. And because of that, people are eating each other up. And they're tearing each other apart. And people are actually fighting and killing each other over this. Think about it. So now watch. Get ready. 2022 elections ahead. I'm not going to tell you to vote for. If they would tell our students not how, what to think, but tell them how to think, they would really be doing great right now. But they're not telling them how to think. They're teaching them what to think, and they're killing the place. Get ready. I just thought throw a little humor in there. It was getting really tight in here right now. I have a prediction. I know exactly. Get ready, because we're going to go through this pretty quick. And it's okay how you respond. Let me sit down so I can calm down. Ready? I know exactly what's going to happen on November. On November 8th, it's going to bring. Not what's going to happen, what it's going to bring. Ready? Y'all ready? It's another day of God's perfect sovereignty. He will still be in charge. He will still be on the throne. He will still be managing the affairs of the world. Never before has His providence been dependent on a king. Has it depended on a president? Has it depended on a ruler? And it won't be on November 8th, 2022. The Lord can control a man's mind as He controls a river. He can direct as He pleases. Proverbs 21:1. The Lord turned the heart of the king of Assyria so that he aided them in the construction of the temple. He stirred the heart of Cyrus to release the Jews to return to Jerusalem. God is still going to be. Come on. God is still going to be on the throne. If no candidate that I voted for wins, I'm not going to go in the corner and pout and think the world's come to an end, because God's still in control. Go ahead. God is still in control. Y'all say that. God is still in control. Hallelujah. God's got this. Y'all remember, I've told you this before. You know, somebody asked me one time, said, and I got a chance to go beyond this now. Somebody asked me not long ago, said, where was God when my son died? And I said, the same place He was when my daughter died, and the same place He was when His son died. He was on the throne and in control, and I'm still going to praise Him no matter what tomorrow is going to bring. I'm still going to praise Almighty God because He's still on the throne. Get ready. Hey, this is just starting to get good. We're digging in now. Ready? God is perfect. He cannot be any better than He is. Isn't that awesome? God is self-created. He exists because He chose to exist. He is self-sustaining. No one helps Him. No one gives Him strength. He is self-governing. Who can question His deeds? Who dares advise Him? God is correct in every way, in every choice. He doesn't regret any decision. He has never failed. Never, never, never cannot fail. He will accomplish what His plan is. Go ahead. Give the Lord another hand clap of praise. Glory! You ready? God is the supreme ruler, the absolute monarch, the overlord of all history. An arch of His eyebrow and a million angels will pivot and salute. Every throne is a footstool to His. There's no limitations, no hesitations, no questions, no second thoughts, no backward glances. He consults no clock. He keeps no calendar. He reports to no one. He is in charge. Our God rules. Come on. Our God rules the world. And we can totally, totally trust Him. DC, come on up here. I'm getting ready to close. Or run this run around one here one. I'm not sure. That's why I had to sit down. Ready? You don't have to be a zombie. Let's read this again. The thief comes in order only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and enjoy, might have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. John 10:10, the message. The thief is only there to steal, kill, and destroy. I am come so that they might have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. Everybody stand. We see this world quickly, quickly becoming a zombie nation. Ride down the four lane. People are going in and out, sometimes because they're texting, other times just because they just blank out. They're thinking so hard they're not even paying attention. I find myself sometimes so used to the routine that I have to stop and think. I remember one day, I wasn't coming to church. That was not my intention. I was going somewhere else, but my mind was so full of what was going on and the troubles that people had, and I was trying to pray for them and think about it. I was on the way to help somebody, but I drove up to church, and there's people out there. And I come driving up, and they said, "Well, hey, Pastor, what you doing?" I said, "I'll be right back." I walked in my office and grabbed the book and come back out and said, "I've come for this." Actually, I just didn't even think. I pulled in there as a habit. Do you find yourself thinking but not thinking? Hearing but not hearing? Enamored by what's going on around us. Told what we are to think. Just remember, the kleptomaniac, the father of kleptomania, is trying to clog your thinking or to make you think what he wants you to think. God sent His Son that we might have life and that we might have it more abundant. Everybody bow your head. Close your eyes. Nobody looking around. Nobody doing anything but with your head bowed and praying. If you're here today and you would say, "Pastor, you're right. I see it now. Satan's trying to zombify us. Satan's trying to get us hook, line, and sinker. No longer thinking, no longer hearing God. Just following Him as He does His crazies. If you find yourself being sucked in to the zombie nation with nobody looking around, everybody's eye closed, it's not saying you're a bad person. What it's saying is you found it. You woke up. You saw it. You understand. And you want to do something about it. If you're here today and you realize that you're being sucked into the zombie nation, would you just, nobody look around, put your hand up and say, pray for me, Pastor. I feel it getting sucked in. I feel it. I can feel the tug. My joy is being taken away a little bit at a time. My hope is being taken away a little bit at a time. My expectancy has been taken away a little bit at a time. And I don't like it. Maybe you're here today, and I just want to ask you this question. I always like to ask this question. Maybe you're here today, and you find this even hard to understand because you don't know God. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, I'm not going to make an example out of you. Stay right at your seat. I just want to pray with you. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, or you've wandered so far away that the zombies are sucking you in, would you put that hand up? I need to get closer to God. I need to get closer. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. God is the solution to the zombie pollution. The zombie nation will not stand. God's got this. Let's all pray together. Father, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I ask you right now to touch us, to help us not to be victims of the zombie apocalypse. Help us, God, to step away from the zombie nation. And let you reign full in all power and control. Father, I rededicate my life and my purpose to you because I know that what you have in store for me is so much greater than the zombie apocalypse. In the name of Jesus, I give it all to you. Amen, amen, amen. We're going to say the Lord's Prayer. And after we say the Lord's Prayer, I want Wayne to dismiss us in prayer. Okay, ready? Our Father, who brought us here? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power.